from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Did not intend to say that. That was just going to be said no matter what, whether we were on any other station. But it works. It
fantastic.
It does work. You know, from club fantastic to a fantastic weekend. Cody is, if you're watching the stream, is definitely dressed like a professor.
Well, I have to be a professor today.
Definitely.
First day of class, you know. I just got told class is full.
That's good.
Class is full. Every single roster spot is taken.
I hope everybody.
No space left in my class today.
I hope everybody shows up to your class and nobody cancels.
Not somebody already told me they will not be making it day one. Am I allowed? What are the rules on me disclosing information? I wouldn't give their name, but one student has already told me he is sick and he will not be making the first day of class.
Well, he's sick. It's fine.
He's sick.
The first day? You got to battle through harder on those days, man. I don't know what to tell you.
No, you don't want
day one?
You don't want the whole class getting sick. He's sick. He or she is sick.
I mean, it's college, like you said.
This is not that person who is going to be showing up 30 minutes late to every class, correct?
No. But the same person who is sick also told me they will not be in class September, 16th. So they're already telling me about a time they're planning on missing, 3 weeks from now.
You know.
This kid's setting himself up.
You know, one of these kids is already or will soon check in on the show every once in a while, especially once they learn that you're mentioning what goes on in the class. So, yeah, Cody, if you're watching on the video stream,
why I'm in a shirt with buttons.
Definitely professor vibes.
That's the point.
Professor Bancroft. Today.
This is how I'd expect a professor to dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I'm glad you're excited for your first day of class all over again.
Yeah, you know.
Congratulations.
Do you want me to hold up the little sign that says, my favorite food or stuff?
Please do that.
My kids don't even do that.
You should have had your picture taken, first day of school, you know?
That's what Cody was saying with the sign in front. So
I have to print out a bunch of syllabi here later because I don't, I still don't have access to any of the actual stuff at UMK. Like, I can't get on Canvas.
How
I don't have access to anything.
Is it?
I got it down to 10.
We'll talk more about
There's some legal stuff that has to be in there. I don't have a choice.
We'll talk more about this class, I'm sure, throughout the show. I managed to not fall off a jet ski this weekend at the lake.
Congratulations.
So it was a much better weekend for me. We'll talk about the weekend for everybody as well. And tonight, fan day at the K. You got the hot dog derby. We've got Dusty throwing out the first pitch. We'll give our thoughts on all of the festivities this evening and hope to see you guys out at Kauffman Stadium. And that's where we start with the Royals and what they are able to do over the weekend in a dominating effort against the Cincinnati Reds. They beat up on, I wouldn't even call it a bad team. I mean, this was a .500 Cincinnati team who's not going to make the playoffs, but
they were playing really good baseball coming into this series.
They were right around .500 and you flat out dominated them to the point where you're now just 3 back in the American League Central. You had some great storylines throughout the weekend with Blanco, et cetera. But ultimately, the biggest positive besides the standing shift is also to see Lucas Erceg, who we'll talk about later on this hour, continue to be as dominant as anybody in a while coming out of that Royals bullpen. And he's been as good as just about anybody in the bullpen in baseball the last 2 weeks in particular, just with the stuff and high leverage. But think about it. Here we are, August 19th, and the Royals are three back with seven to play against the Guardians. They now have a little bit more of a cushion over the Boston Red Sox.
Three and a half games.
That's legit cushion.
It's a healthy cushion with 38 to play.
Yes. And Brady Singer yesterday, even with the rain and everything like that, ends up settling back in and giving you a quality start.
I'll say this has been the most excited I've been coming out of a weekend, it feels like, in months. Not that they haven't had a great season, and we didn't know at other times they were a good team. But they stuck it to the Reds. They outscored them 28-3. The Reds had hit 10 home runs in their previous seven games coming into the series and got held to one run per game. So the Royals starters destroyed them, right? We had spent some time talking about how we had really undersold Walker. He had a great start. Brady Singer bounced back. And I know it's not going to be he can't pitch against good team. We don't have to get into that until he pitches his next start and then start diagnosing it. Only allowed one hit to a left-hander the entire game yesterday. And they had everything go perfect this weekend. Things can still slide a different direction. But Gold, you had pointed out, by the time they face the Guardians in about 2 weeks, by the time they face the Guardians here, or maybe like 8 days, they just needed to be within striking distance in order to take the division seriously. There's no way not to take it seriously. The Twins and the Guardians all have very difficult matchups over the next three games. You have a terrible team in the Angels. You have a chance, if you continue to play well, to squeeze this number even closer. And what I like about the way they played this weekend is the same thing I tried to point out to you the week before when people were panicking. Please do not judge the team when they look their worst. This is what the Royals look like at their best. Their best players, Vinny and Bobby, get hits. They get unsuspected runs out of Dairon Blanco over the weekend, and their starting rotation dominates, which leads you to getting the right bullpen arms to pitch, not the ones you don't want to pitch regularly. That's who they are at their best. We just saw them at their best against the Reds. That was a fun series. Every single game was an ass-kicking.
Yeah, that's something you will sign up for the rest of the way, where it's a stress-free watch, stress-free listen, if you were listening on 96.5 The Fan throughout the weekend. Hopefully that was the case. And I think also when you look at the individuals, once again, that contributed, not just in the rotation, but at the plate. Yeah, you got Vinny Pasquantino, who now leads the team in RBI. He continues to heat up and has been very, very good for this team. Bobby Wood Jr. throughout the weekend, right? It wasn't even his best weekend, but he still came up big. When you don't have to rely on the bullpen except for really Sunday. Sunday was the only day where you had to rely, I think, on the bullpen. I know the final score did not indicate that, but there was that moment.
No, you needed the bullpen when it was a little tighter.
What is it, the seventh inning when their bases were juiced and
Sam Long had put himself in deep trouble.
And you needed two strikeouts from Erceg. Other than that, you felt like it was a pretty stress-free type of game on Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, and the Royals did exactly what you're hoping them to do the rest of this month and ultimately into the month of September. Now, with all that said, and as great as this weekend was, I think we also know that the stretch of games coming up is ultimately what is going to decide the positioning of this team. They need to be in the position, 3.5 cushion, all that, because of the stretch that's coming up. Like, to me, now they have positioned themselves to where if things were to get rocky over the next 20 against some really quality competition, they've at least put themselves where there's a little bit of wiggle room, albeit slim, compared to if they would have struggled this weekend and been only a half game up on Boston or something like that. There is a little bit of a cushion that hopefully they can continue to build against the Angels over the next three before they take on the Phillies. And then you're right, the Guardians, we know they have seven between the end of this month and the first week of September. They play them seven times.
I don't know what it is, like 19 games in a row against playoff teams, some of the best teams in baseball. It's not going to be favorable. It doesn't mean they can't win those games. Baseball's really tight. We're going to talk about that later. There's not some standalone team destroying the competition, because I've given you this stat before, and I give it to you because it has regularly been the single best resource to use when predicting who is a good team and will make the playoffs and who is a bad team and will not. Run differential. The Royals are currently, I'm going to be honest, they were a bit aided by adding 25 runs in this category this weekend. but it's a season damn long stat. So somebody else could have done that over a three-game set at a different time. They're second in baseball. They are only behind the New York Yankees. There are only five teams in baseball with a run differential of 100 plus 100 or more, and they're all in those. And look, once it starts, like you said, Phillies is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, four against the Guardians, including a doubleheader, three more against the Astros, a team that is currently, I think, in first place still.
Yeah, they're going to win the West now.
In the West. Then three more against the Guardians, three more against the Twins, and three more against the Yankees. It's not getting easier. Like, the schedule's about to kick your ass a little bit, but what they've done all year. Build themselves a nice little cushion because of stinky teams. And the Reds aren't, again, stinky, but they're average, and they've beaten up on those teams as well. This just felt like a weekend where everything went right, and I wanted the rotation to look good again for a rotation, and three starts through, good.
And here we go again. Lugo and Reagans are next up. Here we go. Like, we're back to the... So tonight, you know, when you look at Seth Lugo and going up against an Angels team, how has he pitched? I mean, I think tonight is a big outing for him, just based off of where he's been. Does, you know, does he show more like the all-star type of stuff that he was for 90% of the season? The last 10% or so has been different, whether it's innings, whether it's just not playing at a high level. He, of course, is going to have to find that again. And maybe tonight is just what the doctor ordered, a matchup against the Angels to kind of get back in your groove before that tough stretch begins. That would be a huge positive out of tonight. Yes, a win is ultimately what you want. But if you tell me they can win and Seth Lugo can look dominant again, I get it, it's against the Angels, but that to me is just what you're looking for the rest of the season, to believe that, hey, that's still there. Like that Lugo is capable of getting back to that level. Tonight seems like the perfect opportunity to do that, and they should have great crowds. One, we have Fandy at the K tonight, so you should come out and see Dusty throw the first pitch, see Cody, Nate, and Bob running the hot dog derby tonight.
Third time's a charm, baby.
But we're...
I called dibs on ketchup. Did Bob call a condiment?
You guys can sort that out. That's between the three of you. You guys can
Nate wants mustard, and I told him that's fine.
You and Bob can work out the relish mustard, relish ketchup thing. I don't know. I'm team ketchup. I won last year. If you want a winning suit,
ketchup's won 2 years in a row. No. I've lost to ketchup 2 years in a row.
I don't know if I want you wearing ketchup then. I don't want you to ruin the vibe with ketchup.
What do you mean ruin the vibe?
Jeez, yeah.
I don't know. Do you think you're winning tonight?
No.
My confidence sunk. You don't.
I've raced this race two times in a row, and I've gone in there with some arrogance. Some I'm going to win this race arrogance. And I don't feel confident anymore that I'm capable of winning this race, and that I'm just going to be racing it forever.
Maybe this will be good for you. Go in with less confidence. That actually might be better.
Might help me.
This is your rare time.
You're trying to be George Costanza and give the opposite.
Yeah. I need opposite energy.
This is
coming
the
into this
rare
one.
Time where maybe, just maybe, less confidence could be really good for you in the hot dog derby.
I've been humbled. Two years in a row, I've been humbled.
I'm sorry, but unless you're relish, I'm rooting for relish, even though I'm not running. I'm going to be wearing the relish. I plan to wear the relish jersey tonight, actually.
Nice.
Because it's the only Royals memorabilia I technically have. But,
do I have the ketchup jersey? Should I wear it? It depends.
My mustard jersey was in the Cody and Gold garage sale, so it's not available for wearing.
I do have the ketchup one available. I'll have to see if I have. I think it's somewhere. And I don't know. If it's wrinkled or not.
I'm hoping to wear that. Yes.
I should have the upper hand, because the only upper hand I feel like I have is I've run in the suit. Like legend over on Twitch. Like I've run in the suit, but it's...
That's a big lift for you.
It doesn't hurt to know how to run in it, but I'm just going to tell you that there's not a good strategy to run in it. The one thing that is different than in the previous two races is we're all kind of the same height. So no height advantage for somebody. As far as I know, there's no broken head on a suit this year, so like, you know, Drew won't be getting, you know,
I just
like,
want to,
so I think it's like all thing created equal. If I can't win this one, I don't know which one I'm ever going to win unless we stack the deck.
Can you commit here at 10:12 in the morning of the day of the hot dog derby race, after losing 2 years in a row, can you commit, though, because of the height thing and everything, and you agree you guys are
no
all
about excuses.
No excuses, period.
Oh, no, it's if I lose.
I don't want to hear anything.
I'm not going to chicken out near the dugout. I can't. Height is not a thing that I can use as an excuse. I assume that nobody... Now, I reserve the right that if somebody cheats. If somebody gets a head start again, I reserve the right to complain about that.
If you want to win, make sure that you're on the inside, as in you're closer to the
grass.
They
line you up the way.
I was on the outside last year and I won. Wasn't
no,
I, on the
I,
far,
was, I was on. The far I was on the far left and I was. I got off I to remember. A horrendous
I was on the
start.
Far right. I think I was definitely on the far right. I think Cody
that's
was in the middle.
That's where you
year.
Want to be is the far right, because if you're on the far right, then you're closer to the infield and you got the little shortcut.
Yeah, I think it's ketchup on the inside, mustard in the middle, relish and relish on the outside. Okay. So I think they line us up.
Nate's the favorite, as I said. He's a favorite to
they
win.
They don't want relish to win then. I'm going to be honest.
Somebody says, I'm surprised you didn't buy a suit and practice over on Twitch. I asked permission to go put on the suit and do that. They said that they don't really do that.
You don't need to.
That's what I was told. That's not really an available
That'd
option.
That'd be even more embarrassing.
If I had and then lost, it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
But if it had helped me win, not embarrassed at all.
Yeah, the practicing the hot dog derby. You've had practice 2 years in a row. So hopefully it's a good crowd tonight. I know school's back in session and everything like that. But based off of where this team is positioned with 38 games, 37 games to go, and currently occupying the third wild card, 3 games back in the AL Central, to me, the crowds, the minimum, there's a baseline number that you need to be at the rest of the season every night at Kauffman
Stadium.
There
aren't
that
many home games left.
But really aren't. It's a backloaded schedule. We knew that from a home versus road perspective.
By the way, Cody, if you wouldn't have been able to buy a mascot costume yourself unless you wanted to drop $1,500.
I just wanted to wear the actual one, you know. That's all. I've looked at mascot costumes. I've long advocated, and now that we're the fan, I'm only going to push stronger. I have long advocated for Cody and Gold having its own personal mascot that we let go to kids' birthday parties or
that's crazy.
Bachelor parties or whatever, you know? You know, whatever it's needed for. Weddings. Funerals. Doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
A mascot at a funeral.
No way.
Some people like a lighter vibe for a funeral.
I've never heard of a mascot being at a funeral ever. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history.
Imagine like Casey Wolf, but just like dressed in a black suit. They just put him in like morose clothing. It'd be pretty bleak. That photo would go viral forever.
Who's taking photos at a funeral? That's the other thing. Nobody's taking photos at a funeral. I mean, I remember at a graveside ceremony and someone takes out their cell phone. No, nobody takes a photo at a graveside ceremony.
This is what Cody's funeral is going to be like, evidently. Like, is this what you want?
I want a looser vibe. I want everybody having a good time at my funeral.
So you want mascots and you want it live streaming on Twitch is what
I
just
said. Yeah, and alcohol. Okay. I want you guys having a good time.
My mom actually is kind of that way, too, believe it
That's
or not.
That's all. Let's have a party. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Something that was fun on Saturday, though, was the preseason game because of Patrick Mahomes. Let's just be honest. It's preseason football. Otherwise, it kind of sucks. It just does. But when you have your quarterback doing things we haven't seen in an NFL game before, that makes it a little more exciting. And, of course, I'm talking about the behind-the-back pass from Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce for 8 yards. So it was just an 8-yard gain, but he did it in a game after seeing it in St. Joe for a couple of years, right? It's been a few years we've seen the behind-the-back pass.
He's talked about it for multiple years. This is one of those, like, how do you discuss this and give it the proper credit it deserves? No one should ever throw a pass behind their back in an NFL game under any circumstances. Even less so should it be successful. And while I know it was only an 8-yard pass and Patrick Mahomes describes it as an improv play, which we can play the audio here in just a second, it's ludicrous the things, the absolute heat check he is on is a career. He is so confident in what they're doing right now that not only did he do it, he threw behind the back. Of course, it was to Travis Kelce, who he claimed was running the wrong route. And then Kelce accused him of not saying the play correctly. It's ludicrous that this is even possible out of a quarterback in Kansas
City. So this
City.
Was the in-game interview from Mahomes. He also spoke after the game, but this was from in-game, kind of in the heat of the moment there.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, Travis didn't run the route he was supposed to run, and then it was kind of a behind-the-back pass, kind of because I was mad. I was pissed off at Travis. He was supposed to run a flat route. I don't know if you can hear me on the broadcast. I'm yelling at him, and then he doesn't run it. So out of spite, I do a behind-the-back pass, but now it's going to be a highlight.
Oh, that's awesome because you just improvised it. Is that what you're telling us? Is it just all improv?
100%. That's what I've been trying to say it to everybody. It can't be planned. It's got to be just naturally happening kind of in the groove of things. And so I actually forgot about it until halftime. Someone actually brought it up to me. And it wasn't like I planned that at all or it wasn't a called play. It just kind of happened.
Well, I never expect it to be a called play.
And he's not calling him behind the back. Like, he likes to call fun stuff. He's not calling him behind the back pass. There's so many things that can go wrong.
Now, do you buy, though, so he says it has to happen naturally. I think there's some truth to that. But going into the game, you don't think that he said, hey, it's the only preseason game, the last one I'm playing in this year, and I know I'm probably not doing it in a regular season. I think he knew going into the game he was going to do it at some form or fashion.
I think he always has known for years at some point he was going to do it. It was just a matter of when. I think what happens, because like we've all watched Mahomes play enough. What really happens when he plays quarterback is he has intrusive thoughts, which is something you actively fight against every other quarterback. You don't want him to have them. Josh Allen has them all the time. He throws picks in the red zone because he's just like, I can do this in the worst possible moment. We've seen other quarterbacks, Tom Brady falling on his ass. Like, you try to usually quarterbacks take that out of them. But Mahomes in the moment will take a ball in his left hand for no reason and throw it. For no reason now, throw it behind his back. He's the only quarterback I've ever seen regularly get away with, I will call them, bad decisions under almost any other circumstance. You shouldn't do this. No one would recommend you do this. They would prefer you not. The only reason they don't coach it out of you or fight it is because you have a success rate with this kind of nonsense that I've never seen before. It makes no sense.
This one was, one, it's a preseason game, but also like the left-handed pass, at least like that, in his mind, that was what was necessary to make the play happen.
Correct.
Whereas this, it wasn't necessary to make the, you know what I mean?
No, like, he could have just thrown it away.
That's what I'm saying. Or he could have kept, because he was rolling out. He could have just ran. Honestly, like if anything, he just could have ran, and it was preseason, so I don't want him taking a hit like that anyway. So it was fun. And then you had Travis, of course, asked about the play as well.
It wasn't a play. No, it was a play. It was a first down. You know, he you know, he's got the voice thing. And so he kind of mumbled out the play. I couldn't hear it. I was walking up to the line. I was like trying to decipher what he was saying. Before I knew it, he snapped the ball. And yeah, and then I kind of saw him out of my peripheral run to the sideline. So I was trying to go help my guy out. By the time I looked over there, he was already in mid-form, like a photo on a sports card, throwing the ball to me. So it was just, I guess, right place at the right time.
This is the one thing that that's like kind of a weird takeaway from this is, I don't know that I'll ever get to do this again after Travis. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have some sort of like mind meld situation that, again, you do not see very often in the NFL. How is Travis Kelce, who's technically running the wrong route, still open on that play and notices that Mahomes is going to get him the ball still somehow? Like, he just knows to look. He just has some like sixth sense about, well, it's time to go look for Mahomes because the ball is probably coming here somewhere, and he sees him throwing it behind his back in that moment. That he's not going to have that with another player in his career, I don't think.
I would agree with that. That's why they've had the success in specifically in those big time moments, because of the relationship that they have on and off the field, I think has helped them on the field as well. So yes, if you were to have said, set the odds, Cody, on who would the behind the back pass go to if Mahomes were to ever throw it, Kelce would have been the runaway favorite. You know what I mean?
I mean, not minus 10,000.
Like, if a behind the back pass happens, who's the receiver? Kelce, yeah, would have been minus 1,200. And then after that, I don't even know who the hell else would be.
It's always the least likely. It's Sky Moore. It's always the least likely guy next. Like, that's how it works with Mahomes. It's the guy you'd least. It's to a guard or something. Somehow Mike Caliendo has the second best odds to have received it. When you look at where, like, just where that play is, will he do it in the regular season once? This year.
In his career or this year?
In his career.
In his career, yes. I don't know if it'll happen this year. In his career, yes.
He'll throw one behind the back pass. And I bet that one will somehow be for more yards.
They have to be way up or something. I just can't imagine him doing that in
second quarter of a 7-7 game.
Like, it's an AFC divisional game, tie game, fourth quarter. He's not, come on. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing that and risking the alternative of that, what happens.
It's an incredibly risky throw.
Yeah, so no, I don't think it happens in a meaningful portion of a game.
You think it's like week 7 against the Raiders and they're up 30-7 in the fourth.
When did the Chiefs play the Carolina Panthers, right? Don't they play the Panthers at some point this year? Mm-hmm. That's the week, maybe. Maybe against a crappy Carolina team.
That's the only time. I mean, the Raiders.
November 24th at 1 o'clock, okay? When they're in Carolina.
Oh, and actually a noon game, huh?
It's a noon game. It's right before Thanksgiving. You know, they're checked out a
short
little bit.
Week.
You know, and the Chiefs are already up 28-3 in the third quarter. And Mahomes is about to get pulled from the game after that drive anyway. That's the moment.
And he throws one behind his back. It might actually be the following Friday against the Raiders, just the same, except for I think he wants to kill them. That's why he might do it against them. He would like to embarrass them in a way for ruining Christmas last time and just like really stick it to them, you know? I wouldn't be surprised to find that out. The puppet thing, all of it.
That'd be the earlier game then. That's in October.
Oh, that's true.
That'd be October 27th when they play in Vegas. But this, the Carolina one, November 24th.
Someone says they think that Kelce wasn't running the wrong route. They just think they made that up so to appear not disrespectful.
Okay, I like the theory. I can see it. I can see that. Based off of, if you go back and
it's
watch
disrespectful no matter what. He threw a pass behind his back to somebody.
But versus it being, you know, designed, because if you watch the replay, it sure seems like the receivers were already kind of blocking for that.
It was like a shovel pass, but instead of shovel pass, he threw behind his back.
So it's a little bit of, I think that's also why they were both joking about it, because there's probably a little bit of level of that. And, you know, I don't know if they wanted to admit that that was a.
They probably called that play, and then Mahomes just threw it behind his back because that's what he did. Like
he said, it was improvised. I have no reason to think he's lying to me about it.
The play was the shovel pass to get the first down, and instead of doing the shovel pass,
because Kelce was supposed to run the flat. Like so, the blocking does make sense if you think about.
Kelce ran where he was supposed to go. It's just that Mahomes threw it behind his back instead.
So ridiculous. This is, again, why preseason games you shouldn't care. Someone's like, man, they lost the game. I'm like, oh, man, I cannot care. I do not care about the final score of preseason game number two. I'll just never forget that the Patriots went 0-4 the year that they went all the way until the Super Bowl before their first loss. Went 0-4 in the preseason. It doesn't matter.
I have no idea what the score was of the game.
20-something to 20-something.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter.
23-22? Sure. It was some weird score, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
Are we embarrassing for not know this?
No, because I don't pay. I'm a fourth quarter score does not
24-23, sorry. No. It's a way more normal score.
Preseason, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
By the fourth quarter, when it is really like dudes I've never heard of, it's on, but I have firmly checked out. I'm not like too cool for preseason football. It just doesn't. By that time, the Royals game was on. And they were playing, that was on the main screen. I'd rather be paying attention to the Royals in the middle of a playoff hunt than Nate Sudfeld. And by that time, it wasn't even Nate Sudfeld. It was whoever, maybe he played the whole game for them? Maybe it was still Nate Sudfeld. I think maybe he just played all four quarters.
That was the only bummer about the game is that the Lions didn't play Jared Goff, so you weren't able to get even a little bit of a feel for the defense at all, and a test for the number two corners. You know, going in, and we said, hey, let's see what Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, you know, not Jalen Watson, he was hurt, but...
Can't know. Didn't play Amon-Ra, didn't play Jared Goff, didn't play anybody. No sense of if Nazi Johnson, Joshua Williams, or Jalen Watson are ahead yet.
I think that's got to be the number one concern, though, going into the season, because nobody's going to play in the third game either. I mean, you're not going
to play Thursday. Yeah, they're not going to play any stars.
It's too bad, because I wish I could see Caleb Williams play.
Andy's going to talk around 11:45 or so, and I'm sure he'll be asked if the starters are going to play Thursday. My guess is he won't definitively.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'll let you know. We'll get a little closer. Don't worry about that. I'll get that
to you.
Yeah, and spoiler, Mahomes is not playing on Thursday against the Chicago Bears, and neither is Caleb Williams for the Chicago Bears, and Caleb Williams looked very impressive on one or two throws this past weekend, by the way. Up next, though, let's talk more Chiefs football in that preseason game at the wide receiver spot. I think we saw what we wanted to see for one particular Chief.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And now Mahomes at the near hash will have it spread out. He's got one back with him in the backfield. To his left, and that's Isaiah Pacheco. Shotgun snap to Mahomes, retreating deep into the pocket. He'll unload it left. He's got Worthy open. Makes the catch. 40 now stumbles down and goes out of bounds, but the catch will stand. And Worthy running a corner route to the left sideline. Picks up on 3rd and 11. 39 yards to the rookie out of the University of Texas.
Mitch Holthus on the call on 96.5 The Fan Saturday. Worthy with three catches for 62 yards, plus he had that run for 11 in one quarter, and then a 22-yard touchdown catch from Carson Wentz once Wentz got in the game for Patrick Mahomes. That's exactly what we wanted to see from Worthy. We wanted to see it in week one selfishly. We got our fix. We're not going to probably see him much, if at all, on Thursday against Chicago. So that was a nice tease and appetizer of hopefully what's to come throughout this season from Xavier Worthy. That was, I think, much needed for his own confidence too, because we had Nate Taylor in studio last week. Like, you know, it'd be nice to build up his confidence, have some success right away. I know it was preseason, but for him, his first couple passes thrown his way, to catch them, to have that impact, I think is a really good sign for his confidence heading into the season.
And to get it on a long third down, the first catch was probably the best one, because it's a long third down and they got to go down the field and they're essentially running like a version of Jet Chip Wasp, where he just kind of sits in that soft zone deeper to the part of the field and they just get to kind of like dunk it in there as he stands all by himself. No, that was the most confident I have felt in Xavier Worthy. And I think what's happened for me on Worthy is I have, and I think reasonably so, watched him enough now that my expectations have changed for him for the better. Slowly but surely, I have gone higher and higher on where I think his total is. Do I still think he's going to be over the 750 yardage total he was and probably still is? No. I mean, there's a level of optimism. I'm only willing to go so high. But in the early stages, I told you, I thought maybe a 500-yard receiver, because they're still going to throw to Kelsey and Hollywood and Rashee Rice. And I think Rashee Rice could be in for a really big year, and we can talk about that later too. But I think Xavier Worthy has proven his role is not a role that he shares with anyone else on the team. What they're going to ask him to do is not a shared responsibility. It is his and his alone. And the fact that they are putting him in that position means I think they're going to use him more than I had originally thought, which is actually good. This is actually more in line with what I thought. You know what my problem was? Is like every year we have to have these conversations like, well, they don't really use first round wide receivers. I'm like, what the hell do the Chiefs spend their first round picks on if they're just never going to use them? Use your first round pick. I like this plan better versus last year, where it's a redshirt year for Felix and Udike Uzama, and they admit that. If they essentially give Worthy a half redshirt year and he's a 450-yard guy, well, then why are you spending first-round picks on guys who aren't immediate contributors?
All right, so the whole redshirt thing, let's start with that. Like that, no, I don't think anybody thinks they're redshirting him here in 2024. If he ends up with 400 yards or 700 yards, it doesn't mean that it is all about usage. Some of it is usage, but not all of it. Like there, if he has 500 yards, it doesn't mean the Chiefs didn't use him enough. I disagree with that notion. Like, cause if that's going to be the takeaway, that would be interesting to see how the season plays out. If we're going to say
it would depend on, yeah, I don't think all 500 yards are created equally.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. So I agree with you there. Look, I think it was a good sign what we saw yesterday or on Saturday in the preseason game. It's what you needed to see, get him some confidence. Remember, Hollywood Brown's not out there, was not out there. He's not going to be out there week one. We don't believe it could. Maybe he's not out there week two. That's the other part. So right now, you're right that nobody else has the same role as him. I disagree a little bit that if Hollywood Brown was available, would he have his own route tree? No, I think Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy will both be the deep threat for this football team as the season progresses. But there's an opportunity, no question, right out of the gate now for Worthy as he builds up his relationship with Patrick Mahomes now that Hollywood Brown's going to be missing, because he is now really the only true deep threat until Brown is available. So I agree with you. What was most promising about that one play on the call there from Mitch is, and you alluded to just the type of route, How many times last year we say, who can win one-on-one battles? They don't have anybody that can win one-on-one battles.
And that was true.
And until Rashee Rice came on the scene, they didn't have anybody that could win one-on-one battles other than, you know, Travis Kelce, but they were double teaming. I mean, it's just
triple,
like,
quadruple teaming. I don't know.
Yeah. Worthy 1A one-on-one battle, albeit, perspective for a second, against number twos at for the Detroit Lions, but he won the one-on-one battle. That's what they need from him. That's how he gets on the field a lot more this season.
Sure. I mean, and I'm just more confident in his ability to do that than I was to start this. And it's not crazy. It should be that way. He is a first-round pick at wide receiver. Most, and it doesn't always work out that way, most other teams' plans when they take a first-round pick at wide receiver are to play that player immediately, as in they should probably be their, what, third or fourth target, second or third target in the offense immediately. Look at Zay Flowers last year. I can give, you know, even like Rashee Rice, who's a second-round pick, not a first. That's pretty commonly the strategy. We think Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison, and those are taken higher.
But yeah, look, I love Xavier Worthy, but I don't think we need to put him in the Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze category.
No, those are number one guys, but if you're still taking a guy in the first round, they should be a primary target for you in year one. Year one. Not year two or three or four, year one. They should be able to find a way by the end of the regular season to make him one of your primary targets.
There, you said it right there. By the end of the season, I think that's where it becomes an issue. Is like, so what Drew's about to say, I guess, like I think we have seen, usually they don't make him the primary guy right away. Because of the Hollywood Brown injury, Drew, that might actually happen this year.
Even with Hollywood Brown, like from day one, I've said he needs to be the number three wide receiver on the team, and I know that the whole rookie thing with Andy, but I think that Patrick Mahomes covers up a lot of what other quarterbacks would. Patrick Mahomes doesn't need Xavier Worthy to play number three wide receiver snaps. He doesn't need it. He showed it last year. If Xavier Worthy went anywhere else, then I think he would be at minimum a number three wide receiver for one, where he was picked, and two, just what he's been able to showcase in the preseason. So the way that I look at it is, yes, Justin Watson is a more, I don't know if you can even say that he trusts him more now because of the time that Xavier Worthy's been able to get to play over the course of training camp in these two games, but we know what Justin Watson is. Why would you not play the guy that you picked in the first round? Because he has a better chance of making plays for you than Justin Watson does. Like, Justin Watson is fine.
That's not how they operate.
Justin Watson's fine. He might be able to run a couple routes for you and get, but in order to, but I know that Patrick Mahomes doesn't need him, but can you think about how prolific nobody could be able to stop the offense. And I know that that's kind of already the conversation in case, but Justin Watson can be Mr. Reliable for you and be number four wide receiver, and that's fine. You don't even have to utilize him because you've got three other guys that are better. Why would you not play the better players?
I don't think anybody would argue with you that, of course, Xavier Worthy is the more explosive player.
Yeah, and but he might not be the better right now.
And that's what I'm getting to.
I think he is.
Week one, we know so much is about trust with the quarterback, with the coaching staff. And that's the biggest asset that they have right now with Justin Watson week one. As the season goes on, and that's why I highlighted when Cody said by the end of the season. By everything you're saying, by the end of the season, I think that is how it plays out.
At the end of the year.
But his usage why hasn't what he's done this preseason show you that why would they still not trust him after what he's done?
Because I don't understand. I wasn't going to bring it up because it's not a huge deal. But if you want to know an example, he would have been called for a false start on the regular season on that catch. It's a false start on Xavier Worthy. They didn't call it. It's a good thing because we all got to experience the catch, and that was exciting.
And
like,
sometimes
plays like that are why. Like you have to know that the guy is going to be in the right spot on a consistent basis. And I'm not telling you that Worthy cannot do that. You're asking me why would Justin Watson potentially get more
because
snaps in week
penalties?
One?
I just think it's better.
Line up properly, run the right route. Like things like that they don't maybe trust about. In knowing past experience, you're asking me why have they operated a certain way. That's what they've done in the past. Now, it could be completely different for Worthy this go around. Maybe so, but that would be why. I would not be like, after week one, I would not be like shocked and stunned if Justin Watson gets more snaps than Xavier Worthy.
Well, Andrew, the reason the whole trust thing doesn't make any sense to me is because they still have Kadarius Toney on the damn team.
Well, he might get cut, Drew, in a week, man.
I know, but the fact that he's still there, I don't get why he has been the least trustworthy player from the standpoint of catching the football. Like, he got open. He couldn't catch the football. Why?
And they benched him for 9 weeks.
But for them to say,
a healthy scratch in the playoffs.
We trust the guy. They're showing they trust Kadarius Toney. They want him to make the team.
No, they don't trust him anymore. He's long out of the circle of trust.
They want Kadarius Toney to make the team. That's why he's still there.
I fully disagree with that anymore.
To keep on playing him like they did last year, they had no choice. But for them to still, I don't get why, if they didn't trust him at the end of last year, they should have drafted another wide receiver and just cut him from. They did draft another wide receiver.
I understand that, but typically teams don't just like give up on talented wide receivers. They like at least go through the motions before doing it. The other part about Justin Watson in the number 2 versus 3 or where he should be is we all know where this will shake out. If you made me right now predict who will lead this team in receiving yardage by orders, Xavier Worthy will be ahead of Justin Watson.
Of course.
Justin Watson will just be on the field more in the early portion of the season. Doesn't mean more productive, doesn't mean any of those things, but Xavier Worthy's absolutely finishing with more yards than Justin Watson. That's a lock. There's no question about that. The real question about how this works with Xavier Worthy by the end of it is, where will he be in the pecking order by the time the season's done? Kelce will still be ahead of him. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. And I'm telling you, I think Rashee Rice is in for a big year, so I think he'll be ahead of him. The interesting target will be how many games does Hollywood Brown and how much of Hollywood Brown's job does Xavier Worthy steal in the number of weeks he's going to have without Hollywood Brown on the field? Xavier Worthy's probably going to be 3 or 4 on this team unless Isaiah Pacheco becomes a significantly bigger pass catcher in this offense.
Yeah, I just don't get why it's not like you're asking him to be wide receiver number 2. Like I don't even care about the production. He can go out there and get 450 yards. That's fine. He should be getting the third most snaps of wide receiver on this team from day one because of how
well he good is in week one. In week one, Drew, he will, even with what we're saying, because Hollywood Brown's not there.
I'm talking about everybody's healthy. When everybody's healthy, he should be wide receiver 3 because I would rather have one false start penalty and 4 catches for 95 yards than
I've made this argument from
Xavier Worthy than 2 catches for 20 yards from Justin Watson and no penalties and he has and he catches both of his targets.
But what if it's three catches for 30? You know, like you're just making. Yeah, we'd all rather have your scenario. But what if it's 3 catches for 33 yards and a penalty, or 2 for 25 and no penalty? You know, like
because
or a missed blocking assignment because Pacheco would have had a 25 yard run and now it's only 4.
I think the argument that I'm making for Xavier Worthy is like what the Chiefs were trying to do for Kadarius Toney. He's the more electric player. That's why I think he should be playing. You can rely on Xavier Worthy more than Kadarius Toney based on what we've seen. I know that was a major question coming in is Andy doesn't play the rookies. He's a third wide receiver. He's not as trustworthy. We've seen in the preseason what he can do, and he's able to run the routes. As long as he stays healthy, he should be getting the third most snaps on the team because he makes your team better than what Justin Watson does.
Yeah, so look,
right now
you mentioned when everybody's healthy. Well, by the time everybody's healthy, that's probably going to be week 4, 5, or 6.
We'll sort it,
and so then we are talking about what the end goal, which we all, I think, are on the same page, which is eventually Xavier Worthy is going to end up being one of the top pass-catching options in the offense eventually. But in an offense that has Kelce, that has Rice, that does have Hollywood Brown when he's healthy, yeah, he probably is still going to be the 4th option in this offense. That's not a terrible thing. I hear you on the Justin Watson thing earlier. I would just say for, like, the sake of the point, we got to stop bringing up Kadarius Toney as if the way that those are similar in any regard.
No.
Because
nobody trusts Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius Toney is going to get
now, but
Kadarius Toney is going to be cut from this football team. So nobody's arguing that Toney or Worthy. There's no correlation.
The only time they trusted Toney, Xavier Worthy wasn't on this team, and they only kind of trusted him then. And like you said, they benched him for 9.
I'm bringing up
weeks.
Toney because the comparison in terms of all they say is he's super fast. He's electric. He can get open.
Yeah.
Is it really the exact same way?
But they also played Kadarius Toney like 35% of snaps. He wasn't there when somebody got injured last year, Drew. They didn't play Kadarius Toney. It's a false equivalency in the sense that when they did this last year and there was injuries and there was trust,
that's because
they went to Justin Watson, not Kadarius Toney, and they were never going to go to Toney.
But what I'm saying is early in the season, Kadarius Toney was the guy until he started dropping passes. Why can't I know Xavier Worthy isn't like a vet, but why can't they trust Xavier Worthy to do the same things they wanted Kadarius to do last year?
I think they are.
Kadarius
Toney played way less than you think.
Then why should Justin Watson be getting more snaps in week 1? That's what I'm saying. From week 1.
Because Justin Watson got more snaps in week 1 over Kadarius Toney. Like, I mean, Justin Watson was always a more important player in this offense than Kadarius Toney, literally from the beginning.
From week 1?
I think so. I'd have to look at
this. Kadarius was wide receiver 1 last year.
Kadarius Toney.
In week 1?
Remember, he had a knee injury, but Kadarius Toney, 25% of the snaps week 1. Sky Moore had 69% of the snaps. Justin Watson had 29% of the snaps. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 63% of the snaps. Rashee Rice, 31%. Kadarius Toney had, what is that, the fifth most snaps out of the wide receivers in week one. And he was hurt. The highest snap count that Kadarius Toney ever had last year, Drew, was week 14. He had 44% of them. Rice had 85% that week. MVS was knocked down to 33%. Justin Watson went up to 55%, and Sky Moore was at 35%. There was never a point in the season where Kadarius Toney was consistently getting even 40% of the snaps.
He's just not the right
player. I think week one, Worthy could only, you could see Worthy week one get 28-30% of the snaps, and that would still be like the second highest that Toney got all last year. So I think what you're saying is not, I think you're good. I think you're going to be satisfied if you're worried that they're going to give more snap percentage wise to Toney last year than they're giving early on to Worthy.
I want him to get more snaps than Justin Watson. Like that, I know he's
that's going to happen.
He's going to be four. I'm talking from week
from Carson Wentz once Wentz got in the game for Patrick Mahomes. That's exactly what we wanted to see from Worthy. We wanted to see it in week one selfishly. We got our fix. We're not going to probably see him much, if at all, on Thursday against Chicago. So that was a nice tease and appetizer of hopefully what's to come throughout this season from Xavier Worthy. That was, I think, much needed for his own confidence too, because we had Nate Taylor in studio last week. Like, you know, it'd be nice to build up his confidence, have some success right away. I know it was preseason, but for him, his first couple passes thrown his way, to catch them, to have that impact, I think is a really good sign for his confidence heading into the season. 86.5, The Fan up next. We'll talk more about this Royals team in comparison to a team of the past and why you shouldn't be worried about how they stack up, plus what we saw from that preseason game. Another job seems to be locked up. That's coming up on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.